That's why we have to surrender our free will, because God's not going to take it from you. God's not going to take your free will from you. So our free will has to be turned over to Him in faith that He's going to take care of us when we pray to Him.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Way to Pray and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is going to be The Way to Pray. And some of you might be thinking, Pastor, who are you to tell me how to pray? Well, I can understand that. I don't like people telling me what to pray. But I'm glad and I thank God that somebody showed me how to pray. Amen? Because there is a method of praying, not a religion. I'm not talking about a religion here. But let's get started today so you can fully understand what I'm talking about when I talk about the way to pray. Philippians 4:6, I'm reading out the NIV. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Holy Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for your word. God, I would pray that you would open each and every one of our hearts today to receive it. For we love your word, God, and we want you to teach us today within it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so listen, there are three points that I want to make in today's sermon. There is a right way to pray, and there is a wrong way to pray. Believe it or not, it's true. There is a right attitude and a wrong attitude we should have towards prayer. So we got to get our attitudes right. And third, there are things that can hinder our prayers. Did you know that? That there are things that can hinder our prayers. So first of all, the attitude of prayer. The attitude of prayer. We are to have faith in prayer. Do not be anxious for anything, the scripture says. What is anxiousness? Anxiousness is a type of fear. It's a type of worry. It's a type of concern. Now, you know as well as I do that when somebody tells you it's going to be okay and you don't believe them, you don't have much faith in them, do you? So when the Lord tells you something is going to be okay and you become anxious, guess what? You become faithless because the Lord requires us to have faith in all of our prayers. If we're going to ask Him for something, do we not have to believe that He's going to do it? I know that when people ask me to do something and then they question whether or not I'm doing it correctly, it hurts my feelings. How many of you in here like it when somebody asks something of you and then question your ability? Well, see, God can do anything. And so when we ask Him, we should believe that no matter how He handles it, it's going to be the right way to be handled. Amen? So we have to have faith in our prayers. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Who is in charge of your life if you surrender it to God? There you have it. So why are you worried about it? So if you tell God that you have control over this part of my life, stop taking it back from Him. Because your free will can get in the way. That's why we have to surrender our free will. Because God's not going to take it from you. God's not going to take your free will from you. So our free will has to be turned over to Him in faith that He's going to take care of us when we pray to Him. We are to talk with God. Prayer with Him. Notice how I said we're not to pray to God, but we're supposed to be praying with Him. Listen to this. But in everything by prayer. If I don't know what's on your mind because you haven't told me, I don't think I'm going to figure it out. Now, it's not that God doesn't know what's going on in your life. But he does like to hear from you every now and then. We are to ask in prayer. Ask. You have not because you ask not. And petition, the scripture says. Listen, if there's something on your heart, you tell God about it. If you have a need, you ask God for it. If it's in his will, he'll give it to you. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask God. Got to start asking. Got to start asking. And you got to start asking in his will. You know what? But we also must be thankful in prayer with thanksgiving. You know what? One thing that really irks me, and this is my pet peeve, people asking me for things and never thanking me for the things that I already did or gave to them. Not that I'm looking for praise of man, but you know, appreciation. We all need it. God desires it, or he wouldn't put in thanksgiving. But you know, thanksgiving is really good for ourselves more than it is for God. This is what I love about the Word of God. Everything he tells us to do is really good for us. Because when we become thankful for what God has done for us, we don't let the little things bother us anymore. But sometimes God does things for us, and we complain about the outcome. Sometimes we ask God for things, and he gives it to us, and we complain about the thing that he gave us. And so even though we may lack to thank him, sometimes we can even grumble in our prayers. Well, God, I don't know why this is happening to me. Fix this. Come on. Lord, thank you for being here with me in this mess that I got myself into. Thank you, Jesus. Please help me. That's a better attitude of prayer than going to him and say, why has it always happened to me? Why me, God? We must be yielding in prayer. Oh, this is the hard one. Everybody just take a deep breath here because this is the hard one to swallow. Luke 22:42, Jesus was praying in the garden, yet not my will, but yours be done. See, lots of times we come to God and we tell him exactly how it's laid out. Lord, this is what's going on, and this is what needs to be fixed, and this is how you need to do it. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. See, we have a leaky roof in here, and I don't call the landlord up and tell him how to fix it. I don't do that. I tell him about the problem, but I don't tell him how to do it because I don't know how to fix the problem. And so if we're coming to God, obviously we don't know how to fix the problem either. So why are we playing God when we're talking to him and saying, Lord, this is how you do it? But we also get the pride of telling him when to do it. Now, yesterday, I want it gone. Because you know when you're going through something, you want it gone, right? When something's going on in your life that you're not happy with, you just want it to go away, don't you? God, I can't wait till I get out of this storm. And the Lord is saying, embrace your storm. Embrace it knowing that I am teaching you something through it. This is an opportunity to learn something, not just about life, but about me. About me. Because you know what? You can go to church 365 days a year, 52 weeks a year. You can do all of that. You can read your Bible. And I don't say that any of these things are bad to do. But until you experience God, you're only reading about him. You're only hearing about him. But when you go through the storms and you invite God in the storm with you, guess what? You're experiencing God. You're getting to know him. Somebody told me about a friend that he had. Kept telling me about how great of a musician this guy was. And it sounded really too good to be true. And I could only imagine how good the guy was. And one day I met him. And he was nothing like the person told me he was. He was much better being a musician of just a phenomenal talent. But see, I had to get to know the guy. Up until that point, I was only being told about him. When we pray to God, we're communicating with him. And you know as well as I do, to get to know somebody, you have to talk with them. Amen? So we don't want to neglect that. And when we talk to God, he may or may not give you something to do. He may give you an instruction. And you might not like what he says for you to do. But if he tells you to do it, it would be very wise for you to yield to his instruction. Because he's not out to get you. He's out to love you. To save you often from yourself. Often. I always pray, Lord, I know you're good. And I know that the people that are around me mean well, but Lord, protect me from myself. Don't let me do something stupid or ignorant or dangerous, because I have a tendency to want to do it my way. So I have to come to the Lord yielding, saying, God, not my way, your way. It may not make sense when God tells me to do something. I may think, are you kidding me? That would never work. But who am I to question the logic of God? Now listen, Jesus, when he prayed this, was facing the cross. His life was at stake, but he yielded to his Father's will with his very life at stake. Now, I've seen miracles through prayer. I've experienced miracles. So, hindrance to our prayers is our next section. Prayer with a wrong motive cannot prevail. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Selfish prayer doesn't work with God. So James is telling us, when you ask, you don't receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. God doesn't play that game with prayers. He's not a money bank, and he's not a genie that we can just rub the lamp and have God give us whatever we want. That gives us, that makes a spoiled child, doesn't it? Give a child everything that they ask for, and you'll have a child that's out of control. So that's one thing that will hinder our prayers. Only prayer that is offered for the glory of God gains his ear and secures his answer. If sin is in our heart, listen to this. Prayer cannot prevail. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now listen, this is important because listen, a lot of us think that we got it going on when it comes to our righteousness. But listen, only God, through Jesus Christ, can forgive us for our sins and make us righteous by Christ. But if there's something going on in our heart, we're mistreating somebody, cheating somebody, ill thoughts towards somebody, unjust anger, anything that is sin in our hearts, it blocks our prayers to God. Listen, I know when I'm on the wrong track because I'll start praying and I'll be praying about something totally different. And it's like God is tapping me on my shoulder saying, what about that problem? Lord, I wasn't talking about that right now, but I am. Oh, but let me tell you about my other problem. No. Seriously, when I'm praying and I'm wrong in an area of my life, God will remind me of where I need to be corrected. It's true. And so I can't even get an edge on my praying because God is picking on me about this in a loving way because he needs for me to be right with him. You know as well as I do. If something's going on between you and somebody else, even if you love that person with all your heart, but they got a problem against you, that they're offending you in some way, and they come to you, and they want something out of you, you're going to look at them and say, now, wait a minute, aren't you such and such doing this and doing that? Why should I give you anything? Because you know that's your attitude. You know that's your attitude. We do that to one another. But then when we go to God, we're just expecting him, well, I can live any way I want to and give me whatever I want. That's a spoiled child. We can't live like that. So we have to make sure that we ask God to check us, to make sure. Listen what David prayed. Listen to this. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Remember I talked about being anxious? See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Correct me is what he's saying. First of all, he's saying, look, check me out and see if there's any faithlessness in me. Am I anxious about anything? Am I looking around worried about anything? Is there any offensive way in me? Ask God to do that in your life. Some of you are just like, oh no, I don't want him to see what I got going on. That's a scary prayer. It may not sound like it when I read it, but you start reciting it out loud to God in private time. When you leave church here today, say, God, search me. He'll do it. He'll do it like that. And then David said, correct me He says, and lead me in the way of everlasting. What a prayer. What guts. What faith. Because that's a scary prayer. Because you know what? There's things in our closets that we want to stay in there. And we think we're hiding them from God. Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. Adam, where are you at? I was hiding. You ain't hiding from God. That was a rhetorical question. God knows exactly where you are and what you're hiding behind your back. Your little kids do it to you, don't they? What do you got? Nothing. And they put it right behind their back like you don't know that they got something. Why would you even ask it if you didn't already know? David is actually coming to God the Father and saying, hey, you better see what I got going on in my life just to make sure I'm right with you. Because I don't want to be out of sync with you, Lord. Because he knows how dangerous. David knew how dangerous it was to be out of sync with God. You get control of your life and you become your own worst enemy. Because you will make some bad decisions. That doesn't mean everything you do in your life is bad. But I'm telling you, you ignore God and his word and his instruction, you're going to get in some trouble. I don't care how smart you are, how good you are, how well-meaning you are. Without the word of God to guide you, you are lost. I know I am, and I'm not too proud to say it. I'd be a fool to say otherwise. When God convicts us of sin, we should confess it. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come up to God and confess. I did it. It was me. And I'm sorry. And have mercy. And God is just because he knows through Christ you are forgiven. But he also knows that if you're not accepting Jesus Christ as the forgiveness of your sins, there is no forgiveness. And that's the just part. But he's faithful to his son Jesus, which means he's faithful to every person who accepts Christ. Amen? And he will purify each and every one of us as we confess our sins. And we are clean before him, which means that we can go boldly to the throne and petition him and pray without any condemnation, without any shame, without any misgivings. A lot of people say, I can't pray to God. I've done too many things wrong. I can't come to church. I've done too many things wrong. Don't you know that Jesus did everything right? Praise the Lord. And that through him, you are justified in front of God. So come boldly to the throne and pray. An unforgiving spirit will hinder your prayer. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him or her, in case you ladies thought you were off the hook. Forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're not talking about salvation. God is saying you reap what you sow. And if you don't believe it, keep sowing weeds in your life and you will see it. I promise you this, if you don't believe, you reap what you sow. Now, I don't want anybody doing that, but some people have got to have tangible proof, and they keep doing what they're doing, and they wonder where all these weeds in their life came from. An unwillingness to be reconciled to another hinders prayer. Matthew 5:23-24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Not you having something against your brother, but your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Relationships are important to God. So if you're up here and you're giving your offering to the Lord and you're praying and you want to know what God is saying to you in your prayers, he's telling you, hey, if you've got something in your life with another person that's not right, go and try to make that right. Leave your gift, but go and make that right. Fix that with that other person. Now, you can't always fix it, and the Lord understands that. But if somebody's got something against you, you need to go and find out what it is. Because you know what? You could be guilty of something. You could be. You could have offended somebody. Or maybe they're just hard to get along with. I don't know. But whatever the case, you are not to be that way. You are to be forgiving, gentle, kind, loving, and approachable, even from your enemies. Your enemies should know that they can approach you without you trying to stab them in the back. Amen? You follow what I'm saying here? And what I have learned is that I have to approach those people who are difficult in a different way. In a different way. And then as I do that, I learn that maybe it wasn't them that was difficult to get along with. Maybe it was my approach towards them. 1 Peter 3:7. Now listen to this. This is important because I know it talks about husbands and wives, but listen what it's saying. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now listen what the Lord is saying here through Peter. He is saying that, and I know he's mentioning husbands, but this goes with anybody. If you are harsh with people, if you are harsh and disrespectful towards people, guess what? Your prayers are going to be hindered. Do you think God wants somebody biting somebody's head off all the time? Yelling at somebody, mistreating somebody, disrespecting somebody? Do you really believe that that is the Lord and Savior that we serve? If God was to shout at us every time we did something wrong and the clouds parted and you heard God's voice saying, "Stop that!" Man, you'd be hiding under a rock. Because listen, in our hearts, we all want to be loved and forgiven, and we think we deserve it. And when we come to God, we want mercy. And we want God to treat us kindly, with a gentle voice, not shouting and screaming at us. And we don't want other people doing that either. So we have to be very, very careful that we show other people common respect. Common respect. Now, some people think, well, they don't deserve respect. Well, then neither do you. If you can't talk to somebody respectfully and not lose your temper every time they say something because you took it wrong, shame on you. Shame on you. Grow some skin on them bones and be Christ-like. Amen. So in conclusion, I want to say that prayer can change our circumstances. But more importantly, prayer can change us. Prayer can change us. Don't you want to be changed? A lot of people say, I'm going to make some changes in my life. Start praying. Start praying. Because God's going to start telling you about some of those changes and start bringing those changes about. Our attitude in prayer affects their effectiveness. You go to God with an unthankful heart. You come to God grumbling in your prayers, unthankful, angry, upset. Mm-mm. I don't like people asking me for stuff that way. Do you? Think about how you want to be treated. Everybody wants to be treated with royalty, don't we? But we don't want to show it to others, do we? We're not all bad in here. Just me. Just me. Our walk with God must be right when we pray, lest our prayers be hindered. This gets back to this sin thing. If we're involved in something that is not good for us, not good for others, it's not good for God. It's just not. And so we have to understand that we have to come to God and say, Lord, my first prayer is my confession. I just ask you, God, to forgive the things that I have been involved in, the things that I allowed myself to be involved in, the things that I have dragged other people into, God. Please forgive me for that. Please forgive me, God. I'm sorry.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.